It might seem, man, I'm going to pay $300 to replace the door. Yes, your dollar per hour should be spent finding another project you can do, because the whole project, if you don't have one, it's an opportunity loss. That's probably my biggest thing. And I learned that the hard way.
If you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you smash that like button and click subscribe. For those of you listening on a podcast platform, be sure to subscribe on whatever platform that is and leave us a rating if you can. The more likes, ratings, and subscriptions that we get, the more we can spread the message and grow our community. So we also have a free Facebook group. It's called The Average Joe Finances Network. Check us out, join the group, join the community, ask questions, and become a part of the team. All of our other social media accounts are listed in our flow page, and we have them in the video or podcast description below.
Welcome to the Average Joe Finances Podcast. Are you trying to get out of debt, invest, or just not sure where to start? Then this is the place for you. We discuss different ways to get out of the rat race and build your wealth. Join us on this wild ride to financial freedom.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Average Joe Finances Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Cavagione, and today's guest is Ruben Dominguez. Ruben, I'm super excited to talk to you today. Let's do this.
Awesome. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. So the first question I'd like to ask you is the same thing I ask everybody that comes on this show. We want to get to know who Ruben is. So if you could share a little bit about yourself, how did this all start for you? Share your story with us.
You got it. So I was in the corporate world for a long time. I started in IT and I had some various leadership roles. I did operations IT and I was in charge of some support. And then I moved up and I started to have a little bit more responsibility. And now we're in real estate. And to make a long story short, I would look at my boss and my boss's boss. And it was like, okay, I'm going to get that role and it's going to be a little bit more money and a lot more time and stress. And I had kids at home at the time and they were little, and I would come home from work and sometimes I'd never see them because I'd get up in the morning and leave to go to work, get there early before they'd wake up. And then I'd come home and they'd be asleep already because they were little at the time. And my wife would tell me all the cool things they did all day. And I said, man, I am missing my kids growing up and working super hard at this job and lots of stress and overtime and traveling and all kinds of stuff and doing very well at my job. But just the time factor was just, I said, there's got to be a better way. We started buying single family houses and renting them out. And we learned about the BRRRR strategy, which is basically you buy it, you rehab it, you refinance it, you rent it out. And then you do that over and over again. And that went really well. And then I ran out of money to continue buying single family houses. So we started flipping houses more of as a necessity to get some capital to buy some more rentals. And we then started to buy properties from wholesalers. And we noticed that we were paying these big acquisition fees on those and to the wholesalers. And we said, hey, can we cut that out to make these deals work even better? And so we started wholesaling and we picked up a lot of houses. We cherry picked the ones we liked, rent them out or flip them. And then the ones that we weren't able to do or we didn't want to do, we'd sell them to other investors. So we did that for a long time. And it was great, but I looked back, I think this is about 2015. I looked back and our best year, we probably did, I don't know, 50 single family deals that year. And we acquired 6 rentals that year. And I looked back and I said, I am no closer to retiring from my W-2 job than I was 5 years ago. We have more houses, there's income coming in, we have a better retirement plan. But as far as getting that time back, I was no closer. And I was actually working more because now I have all these houses and I have to check on contractors and all that good stuff. And so I said, there's got to be a better way. And I had known a couple buddies that were doing multifamily. And so I started investing. First, it was just passively into multifamily projects that buddies were doing. And then I said, hey, how can I really accelerate that? And so we started actively investing in multifamily, where we're actually going out and doing the projects on our as part of a group and doing the work. And so within about 18 months of actively investing, I was able to quit my W-2 job and do that full time. And now I have a lot more freedom of my time. I still work a lot. I'm always going to work a lot. I'm always looking for the next thing to, but it is on my terms now. So I can go pick up my kids from school. And I don't know if anyone else sees this, but when you pick up your kids from school, they tell you all the things they did all day in about 5 minutes, and then that's it. They don't want to talk about it the rest of the day. So now I'm able to get that at least. So it's been super cool to be able to do that.
Yeah, that's awesome. I was sitting here taking notes as you were going and just putting down this timeline of how this all went down for you. And it's just absolutely crazy because you started getting into real estate, right, to get to the point where you can retire and get away from
your 9 to 5 and your day job. And you wound up just working more at that point. So starting off doing the whole single family home thing with doing the Burr method, and then you ran out of being able to buy more. I guess you probably hit that 10 loan limit, right?
It was more about, obviously, on every project, you have to put some money in. We were at the time, it's probably changed. I haven't done a single family deal in a while, but at the time it was like 10 or 15K into each property.
Yeah.
And then it'd be a rental. It'd be great because you'd get cash flow about $400 a month. It's going to take you a long time to replace that 15K you put into it. So we started coming up against that. I did run into the 10 loan limit though. I ran into the 4 loan limit and then I ran into the 10 loan limit. So definitely I know exactly what you're talking about. But so we had all three: capital, the loan limit on the banks. And there's ways around that though.
Yeah, right on. And then after that, you decided, okay, you need to get more capital, right? So you started flipping. And as you were flipping, you were dealing with all these wholesalers and saying, hey, we're paying these finder's fees. How do we get around that? So you started wholesaling yourself, right? And the deals that, you know, you didn't wholesale, you kept for yourself and flipped them. So that's pretty neat. And it really opens up a lot of opportunity for you that pretty much it's like win-win situations. So if I don't get rid of it, I'm just going to flip it and get rid of it. So that's a pretty good spot to be in. And then you were like, okay, this really is a lot of work and I'm spending a lot of time. And you said that word time several times, that you're losing all this time. And I just said time like 5 times. You're going through all this and you're losing the time. You're not getting that time with your family. So that, I know that plays a huge role. I know it does for me with my children. I've been in the Navy going on 20 years now, and I've spent a lot of time away from them. And one of the things that I like about real estate is that I'm starting to get some of that time back, and I'm getting ready to retire from the Navy, and I'm going to focus on my real estate investing, and I'll have my pension coming in. So I'll be in a pretty good spot. So I'm excited about that. But at the same time, you had mentioned that you switched over to go more passive in multifamily, right? So I guess you were doing a couple limited partner deals with some of your buddies that were already investing in multifamily. And it was a pretty good spot for you to be in where you brought the capital to the table, and then you can sit back and collect your distributions every month or every quarter, which is a pretty good spot to be in. You get that money back when the asset sells in 3 to 5 years anyway, plus whatever else was earned on it during that time frame. So I'm a big fan of that. I recently got into real estate syndications myself, especially with how busy I am with everything else. It was like the perfect thing for me. It's like the perfect storm where I'm still getting my real estate piece, but at the same time, I'm not really having to do much with it at all, except for maybe look at a couple PowerPoints and some reports and make sure that everything's looking okay. And then I just collect my distributions, and it's pretty nice. And I don't have to like really be involved with tenants, toilets, or termites, any of the 3 T's. So that's pretty nice. I like seeing how you had this evolution where you started off with the single families and then got into multifamily. I did the same thing. I got into single families at first when I bought a duplex out in Chesapeake, Virginia, not too long ago, like at the beginning of the pandemic. And I realized it was pretty difficult, especially during the COVID times. And with me being in Hawaii and the property being back in Virginia, it got painful. So I sold it after a year for a profit, which was nice, and it cash flowed. So it was a win-win, but that whole year was painful because every time there was an issue, I was getting a phone call. Every time there was something else going wrong, I was getting a phone call. And I had a property manager, but he was the one calling me to say, hey, we have an issue and it's going to cost this much. Are you good with that? And I'm like, yeah, just do it. And I was like, there's got to be something different, something else I can do. And I met up with some folks that were in multifamily, and I'm like, this is it. This is what I want to do. So I took the capital and I put it into a passive investment, and I'm really happy about it so far, and looking to get into a couple more this year. So anyway, enough about that. I wanted to touch on that because I think it's super important for people to understand that there are many faces and facets of real estate. It just depends on what you want to get involved in, right? Now, some of the things that we were going to talk about today is how to find the best investment opportunities before they're spotted by competitors. So you've got a lot of experience in that realm, especially with single families and things of that nature, where you were going out and finding and flipping properties and wholesaling properties. So you have to have a good eye for that stuff. Are you also doing that in the multifamily space now that you're an active multifamily investor?
Yep, we definitely, some of the same principles apply. It's a little bit different in the multifamily world. In the single family world, you're normally buying from homeowners, especially if you're buying direct to seller. It's a homeowner. If you're not, it's probably a wholesaler. And maybe if you're lucky, not usually in this market, you'll find something on market. But that's rare. If you're an investor and in multifamily, most projects, and we're buying large, we're buying 100 plus unit projects. Some of the smaller ones you can still find direct to owner, but those big ones, Those are all traded by brokers. And it makes sense because it's guys that most of them are called what's called a syndication. So it's where you got a bunch of people pool their money together and then you go out and buy this property. And so the guy running it, you're putting a lot of money into it. You got investors. So you got a duty to make sure that property sells at the top of the market. And so usually that's going to be a broker because they have the most clients. They can put the most eyes on it when you're taking it to market to sell. So that's where we're getting them now. Some of the tips that we've found is most of these projects, when they come in, we analyze it, right? We run the numbers, see how it's going to work. It's going to be a good investment. And initially, probably 95% of those don't work on paper. And so what a lot of people do is they'll just say, it's not going to work, move to the next one. And which I think may be a mistake, because sometimes when you go out to the property, you might see something that you wouldn't see on paper. For instance, we saw one that had 5 acres on the property, just raw land sitting there. And so we can do something with that 5 acres. It's included in the price. Maybe we can make that deal work. Or we went to one, we're buying it right now. Actually, we went to one and it's in the numbers didn't quite work. But once we got there, we realized, wow, this is a very well taken care of, maintained property. We don't need to do anything on the outside. There's some interiors we got to rehab. So our rehab budget came way down to what we thought it was going to be. And it actually made the property work for us. And on some of the units, they had done a partial rehab and we noticed, hey, we don't have to replace flooring or appliances on 84 units. It's 170 units, 84 of them, we don't have to replace flooring or appliances. So our rehab dollars came down from like 7,000 per unit to 3,000. And getting out there and looking at the property and putting eyes on it, it'll definitely help you decide if you want to pursue it or not pursue it. And that means you're going to see a lot of properties, but it also means you'll probably find things that other people are just passing off.
That's huge. I think the key thing you're saying, though, is just because something looks a certain way on paper, there's always more to the story, because something could even look great on paper and then you go look at it and you're like, ooh,
totally.
We have some issues here. There's some
that's usually how it goes.
Just didn't even know about. Totally. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that's huge, man. Especially, yeah, you're probably putting in a lot more effort to making these deals work, but it's not that you're forcing it to work. It's just that there was unknown things, underlying things that make the property a better investment. That first one you mentioned, showing up and not realizing, oh, there's 5 acres of property here. You could build more units. You could build some self-storage. There's so much stuff you could add to that. Can you imagine building storage units for the tenants back there? And then they can rent storage units as well. That would be huge. Yeah. That's awesome, man. Awesome. Okay. Now, when it comes to investing in multifamily real estate, right? So you made that switch, you came over and you started off passive. What made you switch from being a passive investor to wanting to become more active?
We'll be back after a quick break.
Money is all around us and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host Matt Heslin brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
It was really accelerated. I was really like, I have to get out of this job. I have to get out. I worked really hard for a few years. It was a startup, a software as a service company. It just means subscription-based software as a service. And it's a fancy word for it. We worked really hard and we had an exit at a company. I had some stock and it wasn't as good as I thought. They get you with the stock to stay there. And at the end, when we sold it, I was like, well, that was okay, but it wasn't as good as we all thought it was going to be. And so I had an opportunity to go back into another company as an executive that it was they had a portfolio of companies. And I was thinking, do I want to do this? Because it's a lot of time, it's a lot of stress, and it's a lot of not seeing my kids. Or do I want to really accelerate? And I had buddies that were out there doing this actively. I was investing in their projects. They're out there killing it, working hard. And I was a passive. And as a passive investor, it's great returns. Anywhere probably between, depending on the market, but 15 to 25% return annually, which is great because you're not really doing anything. You're just signing some documents and watching some reports come in and getting some checks every quarter. hopefully, if it's the right investment. And so I wanted to get more active because I'm used to being active. I want to get in there and do things. And so I thought it was a good time for me to start getting active. And it was really accelerating my way out of my corporate job. It's like, I got to get active if I really want to accelerate my growth. And it was great. It's been great ever since. And that's really why we went from passive to active. It's because I said, passive is great. I don't have $4 million to go throw in passive investments. So I need to get out there and do the hard work until I have money where I can just throw a bunch of money in passive investments and not really do a whole lot on the active side.
Yeah, that was more of a selfish question for me as I just got into more of the passive side of multifamily and just curious because, you know, as I'm coming up on my retirement from the Navy, I got my real estate license. So I'm going to be doing that when I retire. But at the same time, it's like, man, I really want to get active on some deals. And I've got a partner back in Virginia. So him and I have been talking a lot about what we should look at when I retire and look at getting into. So it's a pretty exciting time. So I wanted to pick your brain a little bit on that. And that's one of the benefits of having a podcast is I get to ask the questions I want to ask. And hopefully provides value for the audience as well. Definitely provides value for me. I can tell you that much.
Oh, I recommend definitely get active. We always tell people like passively invest. I'm getting a ticket on the plane so I can see what flying's look. Okay, what is this about? And somebody else is taking you to destination. And then my next step is you should partner with somebody. And it's super common in multifamily to have multiple partners on the active side because it's really hard to do these multi-million dollar deals on your own. And it's a team effort, right? You got to have a team. It's unlike a flip where you're like, oh, you might make 20K on a flip. Good luck. It's not going to be very fun splitting that between four people. But on a multi-million dollar project, there's a lot of work, there's a lot of things to do, and there's a lot of equity also to go around. So it's okay to split that between three or four people. And so we say partner with someone that's experienced because you're going to learn so much. All the things you can't learn off podcasts and books and coaches and things like that, you learn by actually doing it without all the pressure of you having to close this big deal and run it. And then the next step is go out and do it on your own if you want. That is what we found is the best way. And there's so many benefits of partnering on your first deal and not being the guy that's completely responsible. It's like you're going to have to raise some capital. So you can raise some capital. You can test your investor list to see who's actually interested in investing. And most people, they probably won't invest with you your first time. They're going to watch and see what happens. Oh, let me see how Mike does on this deal. He's doing multifamily now. And then the second or third time, they'll be like, okay, he's actually doing this. I'm going to invest. And they'll call you up and be like, hey, Mike, tell me about this deal. And so that's a great part because you can build your investor list without having all the pressure of raising everything yourself. And then also just being on the calls with the lenders, being on the calls with asset management, when you're talking to property management company, all that is so great experience before you have all the pressure of doing it yourself. And some people stop there. I know a lot of people that they just want to partner and they don't want to have to run the whole thing themselves. They just want to, hey, I'm just going to partner with you. I'll provide a little bit. Here's my expertise area. Like it might be analyzing the deal. They're a spreadsheet person. And then they run the finances through the project. And or somebody might be really good at talking to investors. Like, I'm going to go to all the conferences and I'm going to talk to investors and try to bring some more capital to all our projects. And so people just stop there a lot of times and partner. But some people want to do it all on their own. And that's great too. I'm like the partner guy. I love to have, because I'm not skilled in everything. And so I like to bring in people that are skilled in something I'm not, because we work so well together when we do that. So that's really like how I recommend for people that are trying to get into multifamily, get in that way. Those three steps, passively invest, partner, and then go out and do your own deal.
And I like that a lot, especially because I love to network. I love to meet new people. It's one of the awesome things about this community in general is how there's so many, I would say probably 97%, I've said this several times on this show too, about 97% of the people in the real estate investing community are just so willing to give back and so willing to help. I'm not saying they'll sit here and hold your hand and give away handouts, but people are so like liberal with giving away like their knowledge on certain things or saying, hey, this is what I did that worked for me. It might not work for you, but you can try. And it's just been an awesome experience and an awesome community to be a part of. And that's why I love going to real estate meetups and going to like different events and conferences and things like that. It's just a great opportunity to meet people that are doing awesome things. And when you go to these meetups, you meet people that are well-versed and well-experienced and have been doing this for a very long time. And then you meet people that just started not too long ago. And those are the ones, if you're a brand new investor, that you want to go talk to and possibly shadow, because you know, the guy that started 20 years ago is going to be like, oh, I don't remember how I did that back then, because 20 years ago, it was way different. The way we raised capital was different. The way the lenders worked was different. It's everything changes. So, totally. So yeah, that I think that's a super important thing, especially if you're just getting started out. You got to build that team. You got to build build that network and you're gonna make it happen. Okay, I want to ask you, especially because you've had so many different experiences in real estate, from single family, wholesaling, flipping, and now multifamily, what would you say you enjoy the most about each one of those?
We'll get back to the show after a brief break. Real estate investors know they're leaving money on the table every time they pass a rundown property and do nothing about it. Deal Machine lets you and your team pin distressed properties, look up the property owner on the spot, and send a personalized postcard to the owner directly from the app, all within a few seconds. You can set up mail on repeat to make sure you won't forget to follow up, and while the app is sending a custom postcard, you can look up the owner's phone number and email instantly. Plus, if you want to find even more off-market deals, you can build a team of people to drive for you. You just get to track how many properties your deal finders add every day, making your deal finding a scalable and profitable process. Go to dealmachine.com and use the code AVERAGEJOE, that's AVGJOE, for 15 marketing credits during your free trial. That's AVERAGEJOE, AVGJOE. What's going on, everybody? So today I want to talk to you about the podcast editing service that we use for the Average Joe Finances podcast. That is editpods.com. And what I really like about them is it's a subscription-based service, so the prices are fantastic. And not only do they do the podcast episodes for us, but they also make us videos, audiograms, social media caption videos. They do our show notes, thumbnails. It's just fantastic products. Go check them out at editpods.com. Let's get back to today's episode.
I would say the most I enjoy is what I'm doing now. It's great. I mean, it's a win. I always talk to people, I'd say it's a win, and that's, it's a win for our investors because there's a lot of busy people out there that don't have time to go out and do real estate investments, but they want to get in. They know it's a great investment. It's a safe investment. If you do it right, it's recession resistant. It's not recession proof, it's resistant. And if you look over the last 30 years, it's been pretty good, especially the multifamily business. And so they want to get in, but they just don't have time. Like, we have a lot of physicians and attorneys, people that have money and they just want to put it in real estate, but they don't have time. They work 80 hours a week. They can't do it. So that's a win for them. And it's a win for our tenants because a lot of times we're buying properties that have been neglected. When we bought in September, we had a big ice storm here in Texas. So they had fixed the plumbing, but left big holes in the roof. And it was just, some people didn't have electricity in half their units. Like, we haven't had electricity in 6 months. It's, wow, what happened? And so we go in there and we fix it up and we make it nice for them and give them a great place to live, fix things fast. We love to provide a great tenant experience because they're going to renew the next year. They're not going to go look somewhere else because, like, they're taking great care of us. If you fix an AC in Texas, it takes you 3 days to fix it. Not a great tenant experience. If you fix it within a few hours, then it's a great tenant experience. And so it's a win for our tenants, and it's also a win for us, right? Because we get to go out there and be active and provide a lot of value for our tenants and our investors.
That's super key. And especially when you're talking about keeping your tenants happy, because when it comes time for you to have to raise rent to try to keep up with the market, if you have a happy tenant, they'll gladly pay the extra $50 or extra $100 a month to stay in a place that they know that they're safe and that the maintenance and management there will be responsive if there's an issue. So that's super important to definitely keep your tenants and your residents happy, for sure.
Totally.
Okay. This is all valuable stuff, man. I really appreciate it, Ruben. And I want to ask you some questions now. This is something I started doing. It's four questions I like to ask everybody that comes on my show. I don't have a name for this yet. Some people call it a bonus round. Some people call it a fire round. I don't know what to call it yet. So right now you're just getting my four questions.
Sounds so good, man.
Maybe that's what I'll call it. My Average Joe Finances, four final questions. I don't know. Whatever.
Love
the
it.
Final round. Oh, I like that. Yeah. We're going to go into the final round right now. I just figured it out right here on this episode. So Ruben, congratulations. You just helped me set something here for the podcast. That's awesome.
Love it.
Okay. So going into the final round. Yeah. Okay. Four questions. Ready? So the first one is, what's the biggest mistake you've ever made?
I was so confident when I was buying single families, because we had done so many deals, and I can walk into a neighborhood because I know the area, I know the comps, and I can buy a house, and I don't really have to do a whole lot of, I don't need a contractor out there, because how many of these have I done? And so we bought a house that was meant to be a rental. I'm sorry. It was meant to be a rental. And I didn't bring a contractor in. I was like, oh, this is about 30K. I mean, I did some due diligence. I just walk in, let's buy it. But I have bought a house sight unseen before. if you ever want to talk about that story. But we walked in and I looked around. I said, hey, this is probably $30K. And I thought I was great. We bought it. We started doing rehab on it. It was probably February when we bought it. And the rainy season hit in March in San Antonio. And it started raining. And what I didn't know, and the neighbor tried to warn me. I saw the neighbor. I was out there looking at his house. He goes, there's a lot of flooding in this neighborhood. I was like, oh, yeah, whatever, neighbor. And cocky, confident, thought I was the know-it-all for single family. I learned a lot from this mistake. And it started flooding. This house had a sunken living room and that thing, 2 inches of water in the entire thing. We tried everything to get the flooding to stop in this house. We did the back. We did landscaping in the back. We put a metal plate down by the foundation. We did all kinds of stuff and probably spent $15,000. Other option was a French drain, which is not a great option. It's just a really bad, this yard was really terrible for holding water. And by the time it was all said and done, it wasn't going to be a rental because I had to get out of it. We had so much money tied up. We had to replace the flooring in that room like 4 times because every time we replaced it, we thought it was fixed and it rained, it flooded again. I still think about this house. Every time it rains hard in San Antonio, I think about it. And we disclosed it to the buyer because we flipped it. We had to get out because we had so much money in it. And we did one last thing in the back. I hired this like survey company and they came out and they did all this stuff to it and it stopped raining. By the time we sold it, it was June and it stopped raining. And I disclosed it to the buyer. I was like, hey, just a heads up. This place is flooded 4 times. Here's all the things we did. Here's all the invoices. And I ended up not losing money, but close to it. I think we made $2,000 on the house. But for all the pain and agony that house caused me, it was just not worth it. And that was my one time I said, okay, I can never go into another. I need to cross all my T's and dot all my I's. No matter what, no matter how many deals I've done, like you never want to get too confident in what you're buying.
Yeah. Wow. That property gave you PTSD, man.
I still think about it.
Every time it rains. Oh, yeah. I can't imagine. That's pretty rough. That's pretty rough. Okay. Wow. Next question. What is something that you've learned that you wish you knew when you first started?
It was, gosh, this is a huge one for me. I was the guy that was out there and I said, oh, I can save a few bucks. I know how to do that. I can take this door out and replace this door. It's not that hard. I can save $300 doing that in my pocket. What I didn't realize is, and you really, this is super important for anyone that's starting, is that you got to figure out what's your most valuable. And I call it dollar per hour activity. I think I read it in a book somewhere. I can't remember the book, but you got to figure out what is the most important thing that you're doing and focus on that and give the other things away to people that are more skilled at that. Like, I should hire a contractor to replace the door. I shouldn't be out there doing it. It's going to save me $300, I think. But what I should have been doing is out there trying to find, instead of spending 5 hours on a Saturday doing that, I should have been out there trying to find another project when I was single family. And in multifamily, I should be out there talking to investors or talking to brokers, trying to find a project. Because I figured out what's my highest dollar per hour activity now. It's talking to brokers, finding another project. We're talking to investors so we can go fund another project. And I shouldn't be spending my time doing any of that other stuff. I should outsource all that other stuff. And it might seem, man, I'm going to pay $300 to replace the door. Yes, your dollar per hour should be spent finding another project you can do because the whole project, if you don't have one, it's an opportunity loss. That's probably my biggest thing. And I learned that the hard way, right? Trying to save a buck here and a buck there, which really doesn't, when it adds up, it's not really going to get you that far. So my advice is go out, find out what going to actually get you paid and try to focus all your time on those 2 or 3 things and outsource everything else. And so we use a lot of VAs now. We use a lot of other people's time, right? Other people's time is huge. And they're experts at it. A contractor can go out and replace a door in an hour. And for me, it's going to take 5 hours because I'm not good at it. And the door is probably broken now that I replaced because I didn't do a great job. So that's probably my biggest lesson that I've learned.
That's a huge lesson learned because I've heard something very similar to answer to this question several times when I've asked this because your time is valuable, right? We talk a lot about in real estate, we talk about OPM, right? We talk about other people's money, but what about OPT, right? Other people's time. You got to spend your time on what's going to provide the most value and opportunity for you and your business versus what's going to save you a few bucks. And it's funny too, because on my podcast, it's called Average Joe Finances. One of the prefaces of this is that we're trying to get people out of that rat race and out of that like consumer debt where a lot of folks get stuck and they're stuck working in their 9-to-5s trying to pay off their debt constantly and constantly. Where, you know, when you talk to people that have broken out past that And now they're investing and they're in like this whole different mindset, right? Because there has to be several mindset shifts on your journey, right? The first one, you got to get yourself in a good spot where you can invest. So you got to get rid of that credit card debt. You got to get rid of all that other stuff. But then you get to a point where, hey, you might actually need credit card debt again because you have to pay for a specific thing that has to get done and you need to outsource it because your time is better spent doing something else than trying to save totally. That little bit of money. So I think that's huge, man. It's part of this evolution process of an investor, right? It's not going to be the same for everybody depending on where they're at in their journey. There's a certain point in time where that shift happens where you doing the work yourself is just not worth it. For some people, it's very early on. For other people, it's, I like doing it myself. I'm good at it. And my time is worth it at this point. But then as you scale and get bigger and grow, you realize that your time is much better spent elsewhere. So I think that's a super important lesson that you learned that a lot of people can get a lot of value out of. Thank you for that. All right. You're welcome. The next question is, do you have any tips or tricks that you would recommend to someone who is just getting started today?
Yes. And I think it is really comes down to people, right? Everything comes down to people. But if you're just getting started, like you got to get out there and you got to meet people and surround yourself with people that are successful. And I think one of the big mistakes that people make a lot is you're getting advice from the wrong people. And it might be your parents. It might be your brother or sister, or your uncle, or someone that loves you and you love them. But you can't take advice from people that are not successful in what you want to do. If you want to do something, if I wanted to be an air traffic controller, I can't take advice from somebody that wasn't ever an air traffic controller. It sounds like, oh, well, that's, of course you can't. It's ridiculous. But the same thing applies to like financial advice. And if I want to go flip a house, I shouldn't take advice from someone that was not successful at that. I should go find the people that were super successful and try to hang around them. And so try to surround yourself with people you want to be like. And I always make the analogy, like when you're growing up, your parents might've told you, don't hang out with those people at school because you're going to be just like them. The same applies in the positive way. If you want to be like somebody, go hang out with them. And podcasts and books and things like that are great. But now that pandemic hopefully is going to get better, get out to some conferences, get out to some meetups, surround yourself with people in real estate. If real estate's your thing, go out and surround yourself with those people that are doing it. And it's like by osmosis, you'll end up starting to do this yourself just because you're hanging out in those. It just seems normal. And it's more of a mind shift thing, right? You're going to start acting like those people and doing these deals. And on top of that, you pick up a lot of stuff from them on their successes. One of my pieces of advice, get around those people you want to be like, and you'll start being like them too.
That's significant. And that's one of the things I talk about a lot because I think that's super important. You want to surround yourself with like-minded people because if you keep hanging out with the people that are doing the same thing and not getting anywhere in life, then that's where you're going to stay. But if you surround yourself with the people that are breaking out and making moves and making it happen, you're going to want to be like them and you're going to push yourself to stay at that level and keep up or surpass them. And they always say that you are the average of the five people that you surround yourself with. So surround yourself with people you want to be just average compared to them, because that means you're killing it. And I love that you said that too about going to meetups and conferences. I think that's huge. By the time this episode airs, the Real Estate Wealth Builders Conference that I'm speaking at in March will have already passed, but there's another one out here in Hawaii in July. It's the Hawaii Millionaire Mindset Conference that I'm also going to, and I'm super excited about that. So there's so many different things you can get yourself involved in. It could be a local meetup. It could be a larger conference that you go fly out to and make it a trip, make it a big deal, and make it part of your vision board and your goal list, because it's going to help accelerate you to that next level. And key thing is meeting people and educating yourself. It's absolutely huge. So speaking of educating yourself, this kind of ties right into the fourth and final question of the final round here. And that is, Ruben, do you have a favorite business, investing, or real estate related book or podcast or both?
Oh man, I've got all kinds of stuff. Let me try to narrow it down. Okay, there's for anyone looking to get into some type of real estate, the book that I always look back on that was huge for me was called The Millionaire Real Estate Investor. It's written by Gary Keller of Keller Williams. And it basically is a 19-year plan of how you can go from just working a regular job and become a millionaire by the time, I think it's in 19 years. Now, he uses very conservative numbers. And this is back, he wrote this book back when interest rates were 7%, 8% to buy houses. These are on market houses that they use in, for examples. And so that's really what helped me understand, okay, I need to start going out there and buying some real estate. So I'd recommend that book for multifamily. If you want to get involved in multifamily, a lot of it has to do with, it's really, you have to raise a lot of money, right? When you're in multifamily. So you have to talk to a lot of investors. And a lot of people are apprehensive because they think it's too good to be true. What are you talking about? 15 to 20% returns, tax benefits. There's got to be, what's the catch? You're going to take all my money? So they think it's a scam. And there's some valid reasons why people haven't heard about these investments, mostly because the SEC doesn't let us talk about them. Right? I couldn't tell you about an investment I had open right now. It's against the rules. I can't do it. There's a book called Pitch Anything. It's by Orrin. It's a great book on how to present your idea, because what I run into a lot of time when I'm talking, raising capital out there, people are immediately going to think you're trying to scam them, and they have this block they put, and they will not go past that block. And that book's really great about telling you how to get it. And it's just a fight or flight instinct that people have, right? Oh, there's a bad investment, if it's too good to be true. And so that book really helped me get past that, to really have investors feel comfortable and understand that, hey, this isn't a scam. This is actually a really good deal. That book's great. I don't know if you read it, but it's a great book. And if you listen to the audio book on that, it's actually the author. He's the one that's talking. So it's really good because he goes a little bit further than the book does. And I've done both. I read the book and listened to the audio book version of it. They're both great.
I like audiobooks because I like to listen to in my car, like during my commute, or just pretty much any time that I'm listening to something. I don't really listen to music too much anymore, except for like when I'm working out. But even sometimes when I'm working out, I'll be listening to a podcast or an audiobook. And because it's super important that you keep learning and you keep, I like to call myself a content sponge. Most of the stuff I watch on YouTube or even on TikTok and stuff like that is all stuff that would add value. It's business related or it's real estate related, investing related. Of course, there's every now and then a stupid cat video pops up and you laugh and you giggle a little bit and then you swipe away and then something else of value comes up. But it's keeping your mind open to continue learning and just being, like I said, a content sponge can really help you accelerate what you're trying to do in business or in life. There's even a lot of really great wellness podcasts and books out there that can just help you be happier in general. Because what happens when you start making all this money and you free up your time, you need to focus on other things. You need to focus on your family. You need to focus on your health. You need to focus on things that will make you happy and prolong your life and different things like that. It's super important. And those are two great book recommendations for everybody that's listening. Go check them out. Yeah. So Ruben, this was absolutely awesome. I do have one more question for you now that's outside of the final round, but this is probably the most important question of all, because we've been sitting here chatting about some really awesome information. You've been putting out some valuable information, and the people that are listening probably want to know more about you, who you are, what you're doing, and how they could find you. So if you could, this is your time to shine and tell us, where can people find more information about you? Do you have a website you could share with us? Any social media or anything like that where people could follow you?
Absolutely. Probably the best place is our website. It's Totem, like a totem pole, totemcapitalgroup.com. And you can set up a call with me on that website. You can sign up for our newsletter so you can see what we're doing out there. And then we also have another company called Apartment Educators. It's apartmenteducators.com. We started that. We give away a bunch of content on that. If people are interested in getting active in multifamily, that's a great place to go. And if you're looking to just sync up with me, my website is probably the best place to catch me. Also, my email is ruben@totemcapitalgroup.com. I'm happy to engage anyone over email. If you have questions or you're interested in investing, or you're in San Antonio, you want to go out for a coffee and get some advice, happy to do that with anyone. I love helping people. I really do enjoy helping people in their real estate. So anyone has questions, I'm happy to show my spreadsheets and all my stuff that we use, especially in the single family. We had a big system, but so if anyone's interested in any of that, happy to just give that away free. I try to help as many people as I can.
That's fantastic. That and super valuable. So Ruben, really appreciate that. Really appreciate you taking the time on a Saturday to sit here and have this conversation with me, and an awesome conversation at that. And then also being so generous with everything that you do. So everybody go check out his websites, and we'll make sure we have links to all of that in the show notes below to make it just a little bit easier for you. So if you're driving, don't sit here and try to write that down or try to go to the website. Wait till you're in a good spot and just go to the show notes. It'll be there. And as well as Ruben's email, so you can get in touch with him. And hey, again, Ruben, great value added in this podcast episode. Again, thank you so much for chatting with me today.
Thanks for having me, Mike. I appreciate you.
Awesome. Aloha from Hawaii. Thank you for making it to the end of this episode. Greatly appreciate you being here with me today on the Average Joe Finances podcast. If you haven't done so yet, make this the episode that you go leave us a 5-star rating or subscribe to our YouTube channel. The Average Joe Finances podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes only. Have an outstanding day.
Thanks for listening to the Average Joe Finances podcast, your source for beating debt, saving money, and investing. Learn more at averagejoefinances.com.